All right, well, praise God. Well, happy Sunday morning to you, and happy Father's Day. Feliz Domingo por la mañana. Feliz Día de los Padres. Pastor Jose and Patricia, we want to welcome you to New Beginnings Church. Amen. A church you can call home, where we honor God, love family, serve others, and we pursue excellence. And we have a passion for God and a passion for souls. We want to welcome all our NBC family, our visitors, and all of you that are joining us by audio and video. All we ask you to do is prepare yourselves to receive. Amen. Praise God. Bienvenidos a la Iglesia del Nuevo Comienzo. Bienvenidos a todos los que nos escuchan por audio y video. Prepárense a recibir lo que el Señor tenga para usted. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I won't be preaching today, but Brother Ryan is going to come up and he's going to bring you a message, a Father's Day message. Amen. So, praise God. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, let's make this declaration together. Amen. Grab your Bible, soldier of God, and this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My spirit is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Keep going, Carmen. Bring it on, bring it on. I just want to say happy Father's Day. Feliz Día de los Padres. And I just want to say to all fathers, watching, listening, living or in heaven, we love you, we honor you, we thank you, and we miss you. Amen. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I put this nugget in there. It says we don't have to wait once a year to honor and appreciate our fathers. Amen. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. Amen. And that's a command from God. I mean, it's not just from pastor. If you read the word, that's what the word says. Amen. So you be obedient to what the word of God tells you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can stop right there. I just wanted to just take time to say I want to welcome Brother Ryan to come on up. And he's going to bring you the message. Amen. So thank you, Father. And thank you, Brother Ryan. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll give you this. I'm on duty, so if I get
called out, you guys should go. Well, I shut your mic off. I mean, your contraption over there.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Can I do this right or not? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I hate these things. All right. Well, happy Father's Day to everyone here that's a father. And how many of you had a father growing up?
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Some were hatched, some were just, you know, under a cabbage leaf or something, but, you know. As I was preparing this, I was thinking back about my own father, and he wasn't an absentee father. He just wasn't around a whole lot because he was working everywhere else, and so I didn't have a whole lot of experience with a father growing up, so I probably made a lot of mistakes when I was raising my kids. So it's important that we, as parents or adults, if not a parent, at least you can be an adult, you know, around someone, take someone under your wing and kind of guide them in the way they should go. Because there's a lot of people out here, even adults, who have never had a family structure to help them grow. And there are so many, and that's sad to say, so many people who have been raised by a single parent, either mother or father, who just missed out on that family structure. And it's sad to say that. But that being said, we're going to start with First John chapter 3, verse 1. Talking about fathers. I'm not talking about the typical Father's Day message where we're talking about our earthly father. We're talking more about our heavenly father today. He's the example we should all be striving to follow. Whether you're a mother or a father or an aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever, This is the example we should be following. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But I love the Amplified. It says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. When I was a little kid, I used to lay down our yard, front yard, and look at the clouds and going, that could be the cloud Jesus is coming back on. That could be the cloud Jesus is coming back on. Then my mind was, I was just a little kid, you know, in Bible school and stuff, and going, if God knows everything, and if God can do anything, why does he allow people to be born who aren't going to serve him? God does not want a robot serving him. He wants someone to voluntarily, willingly love him and serve him and worship him. That's what we were created to worship him. The times that we remember our parents growing up, there's good times, there are bad times. I thought when I was growing up, my parents were some of the stupidest people on the face of the earth. You know, and they don't understand anything. They don't understand me. They don't understand what I'm going through. They don't understand the problems I'm having and stuff. One day, this little light clicks on in my head. I called my dad and said, Dad, when I was growing up, you and Mom were the stupidest people on the face of the earth. But somewhere down the line, you had opportunity and time to go to night school and became some of the smartest people I've ever known. I mean, their wisdom, their knowledge, their patience with me. I was not a perfect child. That's hard to believe. I understand. I mean, you see this, you know, go, how can it get any better than this? But, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was rebellious. The biggest thing my parents and I ever fought about was the length of my hair. You know, back in the sixth grade, you know, these crew cuts are really short. And, you know, back then, you know, back in the early 70s, you know, everybody had long hair then. I go, no, I don't fit in. I don't want this anymore. I want to change. And Dad was fighting me and stuff. And I said, all right, you keep it short, you keep it clean, and you'll do it. Okay. So anyway, that went so far. Then I went my own way, and I found myself in trouble, and who do I call? I called my dad, you know, and he come bailed me out, got me, you know, out of jail that time. And that was the first time. Second time, he didn't do it. So you didn't learn your lesson the first time. I ain't going to do it the second time. But when we call upon God, when we get in trouble, we get in a situation, we have problems, struggles, tribulations, whatever the problem is, our God is always there. He never turns a deaf ear to us. He hears the cries of his children. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I love it out of the this Bible is about 14 times bigger than their other ones, because I got four different versions in it. But I love it. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The American Standard Version. The Lord appeared to him saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. He draws us to him. He wants us. He compels us to come to him. It's not something that we are forced to do. He wants us to. He invites us to come and be part of his family. So my wife and I, we adopted three of our grandkids because their parents thought drugs were more important than raising kids. So we know what it is to have an adopted family. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're part of his adopted family. We are his. Everything that Jesus has, we are privy to. We can be, we're his sons, we're his daughters, we are his family. And he will withhold no good thing from his children. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, if God loved me, he'd answer my prayers. You know, I've been asking for this and praying for this, you know, praying for this, and I never get anything. And God never answers me, so why do I even bother? I look at it like this. This may be wrong, and if I am, then come talk to me afterwards, give me $5, and I'll forgive you. But when someone else's child comes to me and wants me to help them, I'm not obligated to help them. They are not my responsibility. They're not my child. If you come to God and you have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you're not one of His children. So, if that context holds, He's not obligated to answer your prayers if you're not one of His children. Now, that does not mean He doesn't answer your prayers, but He's not obligated to, in my opinion, which didn't go very far. God loves you so much, He'll do anything for you, but if you continually reject Him and turn your back on Him and say He's not there, why should He bother helping you? The Bible says that, you know, it comes to a point where God turns you over to a reprobate mind. If you just keep refusing Him, He's not going to listen to you anymore. Jeremiah 1, chapter 5. Took a little longer to get there than some. Jeremiah 1, 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before, you know, God knew everything that was going to happen before He even created the earth. He knew that Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross. He knew that you and I were going to be born. He knew about the things He was going to do in our life. And yet He still created us. Makes me wonder what these children who've been aborted, what they could have accomplished. Because God ordained them before they were born to have a great life, to do something for Him. But they were aborted before they even had the opportunity to take a breath. You and I have been given the opportunity to live a life. It's our responsibility now to go and proclaim the gospel to everyone we come in contact with. Maybe not by giving a sermon, maybe not by giving a message or anything, but you know, by living your life before them as Jesus would have you live. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Be an example of those who've been before you. Don't imitate them. Don't be perfect like them, because they're never perfect. The humans aren't. But do your best to serve God with everything within you. Every morning say, Father. You know, it's not just God. He wants to be our Father. A personal, intimate relationship with Him. We can tell Him things we could never tell our earthly father. We can tell Him things we could never tell our very best friend. He's not going to condemn us. He's not going to judge us. He's going to be there to lead us and guide us and help us make the right decisions. I had a lady today send me a text saying she's going to quit doing, you know, taking some medication and stuff. And I says, pray about it first. Oh, okay. I guess the evil one's trying to get me not. You know, the decisions we make are based a lot on our experiences. We've seen our parents do things. We learn from them, maybe. I tried to teach my kids, don't do as I did. Do as I'm trying to teach you. Well, we have to make our own mistakes. No, you don't have to make your own mistakes. You can learn from my mistakes. I made plenty of them. You can see what happened. You can see the results. Don't go down that same road. Well, I got one. It's in a halfway house. I'm just getting out of prison. One's still in prison. One's in jail. You know, we all have to make our own choices in life. And just because there was a good example before us doesn't mean we're going to follow that same example. We have to want to choose to live for Jesus. God loved you before you were born. His love never fails. It's everlasting. There's never a shut-off time. There's never a point in your life where your parents said, I'll love you until you turn 18 and you're on your own. I'm not going to love you anymore. That's when I needed it loved most, because that's when I made the most mistakes. Oh. Okay, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I always figured God was pretty good at subtraction. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. So in the Amplified, are not two little sparrows sold for a copper coin? And yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Wish I knew which ones are. I'd try and get a refund or something. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For the Father is sovereign and has complete knowledge. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. You know, my grandmother, my mom's mom, she loved songbirds. She did not like sparrows. She didn't like blackbirds because they weren't the songbirds. They were messy. They weren't. So I read this here and I said, well, you know, even the sparrows, God feeds them. He shelters them. All the things that he does for them, he does for us. Because he loves us. There's nothing that he won't do for us if we love him and serve him and obey him. But there comes to a point in our life that we have sometimes things put before us that make us kind of wonder, is God really still there? Does God really love me? I've known so many people who have had parents or children or loved ones who are on death's bed. For, you know, sometimes weeks, months, maybe even years. And you pray and you pray and you pray, God, heal them. God, heal them. And God does not heal them for whatever reason. And people wonder, does God even love us? You know, if he loved us, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't have sicknesses. We wouldn't have all the problems in life. But God has given us a way out of all these problems by falling on our knees and just saying, God, here I am. You know, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's going on with all the things happening. But Lord, that you receive glory and honor through it. You know, we don't see the full picture. We just see the right here, the right now. There have been so many people who have passed on, and their children and grandchildren start reflecting upon grandma or grandpa's life or mom and dad's life. They go, you know, she had faith up until the very end. He did not waver in their faith. You know, grandma's Bible or grandpa's Bible is all lined up, all marked everywhere, you know, the scriptures they've read. You know, that becomes a treasure to the kids. But it's God's Word. And that Word is true. It will not lead you astray. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. Example 5 says, a father of the fatherless and a judge and protector of the widows is God in His holy habitation. If you go to think about the widows, there was no one to take care of them. If the families didn't take care of them, they're on their own. God is the one who steps in, who watches over them, protects them, gives them all the things they have need of. God is the one who provides not only sustenance for us, clothing for us, shelter for us, but salvation. Salvation, if there is no other gift or anything else God ever gives us, if no other answer or prayer, if all we got was salvation, we got more than we deserve. Salvation is the greatest gift our Heavenly Father could give us. You think about the gifts that our parents give us. The one thing that I remember when I was in second grade, that was one of the best Christmases I ever got in my life. Got a .22 rifle, single shot. Couldn't shoot it yet. Didn't have any bullets. I tore the thing apart every day, cleaning it, maybe I'll learn how to do all this stuff. And I got this big old tank, big old plastic tank with little bullets to shoot out. That was pretty cool. That was one of the best Christmas I ever got in my life. But that compares nothing to what God has given us. He has provided us a home in heaven. Not just a home, a mansion. Now, this is not how it works. I just like to think this. The longer I stay here, the more He's doing work on my mansion. It's got to be really, really good time I get there, if I live long enough. I mean, you know, got construction continually going on. So, I'm not ready for it yet, because I want it to be even greater. I'm ready to go home, but I'd like to have that mansion just... Psalms 27:10. I need to get my glasses fixed so I can see better. Need new glasses. If you guys want to get rid of, I'll take them. So. When my mother, father and mother forsake me, when the Lord will take me up, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Your parents sometimes don't understand you. When they don't seem to want to do things that you think they need to help you with, God is always there. This thing keeps falling off of me. When we have trouble, and tribulations and trials that seem to be above and beyond anything we can comprehend or go through. You know, we go to our parents sometimes and say, you know, I need some help. You know, we got one grandkid that we raised since he was born, so he's our kid. But he never contacts us unless he wants money. He didn't come out and say, you know, I need $10, I need $20. You know, I'm just trying to figure out how to do this. I got this and this going on, and, you know, if I don't come up with the money, I'm not going to be able to do whatever, you know. And he never comes right out and says, can I Didn't say borrow. He says, can I have? Or, you know, he just says, I just, like yesterday, he said, he just bought a car, he's on payment plan, and they didn't make the payment, and so he got taken back, and I can't go to work now. I don't know how I'm going to get to work because my car's not here. I'm not asking for money. I'm just trying to figure out how to do this, and, you know. And I wonder sometimes if God didn't get the same thing from us. You know, we go through the same thing over and over and over. The only time we go to Him is when we have problems. The only time we go to Him is when everything seems to be falling apart. We never go to Him and say, Father, this is the best day. Thank you. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you. You know, God, you know, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. So my dad had this thing. I don't know where he got it. I just an old song, I guess. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms, you know, and goes on through on and on and on and on and stuff, you know. So, yeah, just. But when you go to God, He has an attentive ear. It's not like, okay, time out. I'm dealing with somebody else right now. Their problems are a whole lot worse than yours. When I get through with them, I'll come back to you. No. He is able to listen to all of everyone, all of our problems, our situations, our pains, our trials, our tribulations, our fears, our anxieties, when we're depressed, when we're all the things we go through in life. He's there.
Yes, He is.
And He has an answer for every situation. It may not be the answer we want. I keep telling my kid, okay, take part of your money, put in a savings account. Yeah, but all, no. You have to learn to be disciplined. Do this. So when the other problems come up, you'll have something to fall back on. The same thing with God. You know, He is not like a savings account or a pastor says a spare tire or, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's not something only to call upon when you have need of Him. He's not our emergency 911. He is there all the time for no matter what we're going through. Good times and bad times. He's a God on the mountain. You know, He's a God in the valley. He's a sunshine, the darkness, whatever we're going through. He is there for us because He is a good God.
Yes.
So, in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He has seen me, has seen the Father, and has said unto them, show us the Father. We have the example of Jesus in the Bible, of all the things He did. And yet He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. You know, I would love for that to be with me. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I'll never be as good as Him, as pure and holy as Him. I want my life to reflect Him, though. Each and every one of us has a mission. Each and every one has been called to a service of the Lord. It may not be behind the pulpit. It may not be, you know, ministering to people. But in our everyday life, God has called us to minister to people. Whether it's baking cookies and bringing them to me, making the salad, take it to pastor. You know, extra green vegetables and stuff. You know, he really likes that.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, those people who are sick, your neighbor who may be a widower, or children down the street that don't have a father or a mother. You know, whatever it is God has called you to do, do it joyfully and willfully. You know, that old man across the street, he is so ornery and cantankerous. I'm not going to go talk to him because every time I go over there, he just, you know, just makes my day miserable. I'm not going over there. I ask myself in those situations, what did Jesus do? Did He only avoid the people who are, He didn't avoid anyone. He went to those who were lost and downtrodden, those who were without hope. He went to them and shared the gospel and, you know, helped them see the error of the way and accepted Jesus and they could be saved. The whole thing comes down to one thing. John 3:16. Sum up the whole picture, the whole thing. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to earth, that you and I, if we say this individually, for God so loved Ryan, or you can put your name in there, you know, for God so loved me that He sent His only begotten Son to me, that if I believe on Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior, I can be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew that there was going to be the devil. He created Lucifer. He knew that Lucifer was going to rebel. He knew he was going to be kicked out of heaven. He knew he was coming to earth. He knew all this stuff. It wasn't by surprise. I didn't see that coming. But He had a plan of salvation already in place. So when the time came, Jesus willingly left the glories of heaven, came down to this sin-filled earth, lived a sinless life, showed us the example we are to follow, willingly followed the Father's will, was crucified on the cross, a horrible, horrible death. Rose again the third day, that we have the hope and the assurance that if we accept Jesus as our Savior, whether we die or go into resurrection, we will be with Him in heaven. So there may be some today who have never even thought about accepting Jesus, thought, I've got a good life. I'm doing well. Everything's going my way. God and I have our own thing going. What do I have need of a Savior for? Because everything is going good. I'm making lots of money. I got a fine house. I got a great car. I got a great family. I don't have need of a God. If that's the attitude and mindset that you have, and you wind up leaving this earth without salvation, you'll be sorely sorry for what you did not do. There comes a time in our life when we have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And right now is that opportunity. So as we close today, I want each and every one of us to close our eyes. Father, right now in Jesus' name, if there's anyone who has never accepted You as Lord and Savior, or those who have accepted You and for whatever circumstance, every reason, has turned their back on You and gone back into the world, Lord, I just pray that You will help them open up their spiritual eyes and see the error of their ways. See where they need You more than anything. For in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, we could be gone from this life, either by way of the grave, or You will be coming back to earth that way, and they will be left behind. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just ask that You speak to every single one of us. Lord, whether we've been serving You for 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks, 500 years almost, Lord, we just pray that You will just speak to our hearts. And if there's anything in our life that needs to be repented of, forgiven, Lord, I pray that You'll forgive us. Bring it to our remembrance. We may confess it before You. And Father, those who have never accepted You, I pray, Lord God, that some way, somehow, You will speak to their hearts. You will send someone to them to share the gospel of Jesus. Lord, You are the greatest Father. You are the example that we are to follow. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just thank You for the privilege of knowing You and knowing Your Son. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.